My chains fell off. Amen. My heart was and is free. What's the next bit?
I rose,
went forth, and followed thee. And followed thee. That's the message this morning. We've heard it already. And that really is the message this morning. And do you realize, I know you do, but have this encouragement that God has laid hold of you. In salvation, in your life, this morning, God, Almighty, all-powerful, supreme and sovereign Lord, he has laid hold of you. And he says to you this morning, you lay hold of that for which I have laid hold of you. We're going to explore that this morning. He has brought us into a place of salvation by his grace. And we have come by faith, through grace, into a place of right relationship with God. He has brought us into that secure, safe, solid ground. And we stand on it this morning. Wonderful. And here's the thing. Not only has he brought us into that safe place of salvation, but he is continuing to take us on with himself into his plans and purposes for your life. Amen. His plans and purposes for your life is the extension of his kingdom. Wonderful. Wonderful. He has brought us into a place and he is continuing to take us on into a place in himself. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to him, and I'm excited this morning. So that sometimes gets a bit loud, but you can blame Johnny for the volume. He can turn it up and down if he wants to. But I am excited to know that not only have I been set free from sin, from darkness, from death, I have benefited because of Christ from this great emancipation in my life, and he has saved me to a whole host of plans and purposes that he has, and that he has predetermined before my life ever was, and before your life ever was. He has called you out of and into. And what we want to focus a little bit on this morning, and I'll just have to do it in my particular way because I have no other, but we're going to focus a little bit on the into. He has called us out and he has called us into. You know, last week we were thinking a little bit about this thought that we continue, as Christians, we continue to come to God, to come to Father as little children in simplicity of faith. We continue to do that. And as we continue to do that, that strength of dynamic relationship between father and son, between father and daughter, as we maintain that reality of connection and relationship with him, we come as children. He enables us from that relational connectivity with himself. He enables us to go out as warriors of the kingdom of God. He has called us in, and he is calling us out. And he does, in Christ, equip us to battle. So we come in, but we're going out. In a sense, what I want to do this morning, when we actually get onto it, is to be thinking a little more along that line, is that we go out as warriors. We must first come as children, and we must continue to do that. But he equips his children for war. For war. And we're going to touch on that a little bit this morning. And here's another thought. If you want to turn to it in a minute, we're going to be reading from Judges in chapter 6. But a few weeks ago, before the summer, Johnny was speaking, and he used this phrase. And then a bit later, around that time, Jeff used this phrase in a prayer meeting. It's very helpful in provoking thought. And he said this, man of God, what do you see? It's a good question for all of us. It's a good question. Man of God, what do you see? If I could put it like this, what do you see that God is illuminating to you? What do you see? What is he giving you ability and vision to see? Our ability to see depends entirely on our perspective. On perspective, two people can look at the same situation and come up with two very different conclusions. Amen? Is that true? It is true. We can look at the same thing, and depending on our perspective, depending on where we're coming from in relation to that which we see, we can draw very different conclusions. Perspective is important. Our perspective this morning is important. So we're going to look at it a little bit this morning. If we are to see accurately, we need what I'm going to call a God perspective or God's perspective. We need to be able to see as God sees. We need to be able to see from his perspective as he views situations, as he views your life, as he views this church, as he views this city. One of the things that God does for us by his Spirit, which he has gifted to us, is he gives us an ability to see. He gives us an ability to see ourselves, our situations, as he sees them. Increasingly, I'm not suggesting perfectly as he sees, but he gives us an ability to see consistent with the way that he sees. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We need a God perspective, God's perspective. How do you see what you see? When you look at your situation, when you look at this country, when you look at the church, when you look at this church, how do you see what you see? How do you see what you see? Or can we say this? From what perspective are you viewing all of those things? It's a good challenge, man of God, woman of God. What do you see? As you look, we all look, we're all looking constantly. And as you look, what do you see? It's a good question. What do you see? How do you see? From what perspective do you gain your vision? From what perspective? From your perspective as a natural man or from God's perspective? How do you see what you see? From what perspective do you gain your vision? So we're just going to look a little bit at the story of Gideon. A well-known passage of scripture. We're going to read down from Judges chapter 6 and from verse 11. And we'll just read down. And so, the people of God, the Israelites, they are oppressed severely by the Midianites. And God is going to raise up a deliverer. And says this, and the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites, the enemy. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord looked at him and said, please notice this dialogue that's going on here because it's unusual. Look at the way God is speaking to Gideon, look at Gideon's response, and then see God's responding again to Gideon. It's fascinating. And the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." And so we find in this passage Israel, they're oppressed by the Midianites, and they would come on the people of God. They would come like a swarm of locusts. There was thousands of them, the enemy. And they would come, and they would come when there had been harvest, and when they had gathered, and they thought they were getting somewhere, the enemy would come in, and they would come in like an overwhelming force, and they would strip them bare of all nourishment, and they would take it for themselves, and they would come like a swarm of locusts, and they would take anything of nourishment or value. And Gideon was threshing grain in secret. Did you see that? Gideon was threshing grain in secret for fear of the enemy. For fear of the enemy. God works something in his people by his spirit which is bold and courageous. Amen. God. He works something in his people which is bold and courageous. And we'll just say this, we might get onto this, but there's good reason for that. There is good reason how and why he can work boldness and courage into his people. And so we find Gideon here in this situation, and he's threshing grain in secret. And the angel of God, the messenger of God, comes to him. This man threshing grain in secret because of fear. And this messenger of God, messengers of God, forgive me for this simplicity, but messengers of God, they speak for God. And so God is speaking through his messenger to Gideon. And he meets this man who secretly in fear is threshing grain. And he addresses him and he says, "Oh, valiant warrior." God's perspective. God had a different perspective on that life, on that situation, and he begins to change Gideon's mind. He begins to change his thinking, his approach, his perspective of his own situation. And he begins in this way. And he completely, here it is again, we had this last week, this topsy-turvy kingdom that God has brought us into. And he turns the thing on his head. And in a moment, he addresses this man, Gideon. And he says, "Valiant warrior. I see you, Gideon. Valiant warrior." It's wonderful. And he addresses him in this way. Now, here we go. Gideon's response, you might think, in this situation, in this moment, is unsurprising in some ways. If you just think of it, you think of him as a natural man, you might think unsurprising. Essentially, Gideon's response in that moment to God's perspective of him and his situation, he essentially says, "You must be joking." That's his response in the moment. That's where he was at in that moment. His response to the word of God, you must be joking. Look at the situation. Look at my circumstances. Look at my life. I'm of the least family in my tribe. And not only am I of the least of the least, I am the least of the least of the least in my family. I'm the youngest. I'm little. And he's got a different perspective at this time. And he says, "You must be joking. Look around you." And we've just read this, and he's saying, where are the miracles? These things that I have heard of from generations past, where are they? Where are they? Where is the deliverance? Where is he, God? Where is God? He has abandoned us. He has abandoned us. And this is his perspective. This is how he's looking at his situation. And after this response, God, again speaking, and he says this in verse 14, the Lord looked at him and said, this is God's response to that. The Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. And here's the key point. Have I not sent you? There's a question. Requires an answer. Have I not sent you? The Almighty, omnipotent God, have I not sent you? Something's got to start stirring in this moment, hasn't it? There's got to be some agreement. It's just like, could it be? Could it be maybe God, all-powerful God, he has sent me, he is with me, he has a plan, he has a purpose? Yes. And he said, but my heritage is insignificant, and I am the least in my insignificant family. And then again in verse 16, God brings it back again. He's changing his mind. He's changing his perspective. And he speaks again into his life and he says, I will be with you. You will defeat the oppressor. Those two things go together. God says, City Church, Chester, I will be with you. And you will defeat the oppressor. That is not some kind of victorionics. That is rooted in Scripture. It is rooted in the finished work of Christ on the cross. It is rooted in God. He says, I will be with you, and you will defeat the oppressor. And we could say it like this, God will defeat the oppressor through your life, through you. Wonderful, wonderful. One of the things I believe that God wants to do for us as a collective of faith, as a broader community of faith in terms of the city and the nation, is to stir up in us again an awareness of who we are in Christ. Outside of Christ, I am a dead duck. But in him, and in his purposes, and in response to him, God is working. And he's working from a place of victory. He is working from a place of authority. And he enables his people, his children, to move in authority. To move into situations, communities, and for light to come to bear. And as light comes to bear, darkness is dissipated. God moves in power and authority through his people. Wonderful. God is at work. And this is where our confidence is. That God is at work and God moves in this way. Gideon needed, in that moment, a God perspective on his situation, on his circumstances. And if I may say so, so do we all. So do I. We all need God's perspective. This is like an imperative. We need God's perspective on this city. Chester, UK, we need God's perspective. He has a perspective on this city. And you and I can be awakened by God to his perspective, his vision for his purposes in this city. And he can enable us by his Spirit to engage at those points of engagement that he has for you and me. Wonderful. Wonderful. Listen to this. God is not on the back foot. God is not on the back foot in your life. In your circumstances, God is not on the back foot. Some of us, as Christians, forgive me, but we can have a victim mentality. God needs to change our perspective. He needs to give us a vision, an attitude, an awareness of himself, which is consistent. God, Johnny was talking about this earlier, that is consistent with the God whom we serve. He is bigger, and he is powerful, and he is working in our lives, in this church, and in this city. He is working according to his divine purposes, and he is doing it through his almighty power. God is not on the back foot. Wonderful. Wonderful. If you in any way, in your circumstances this morning, have a victim mentality, hear this. Repent. Be changed by God, that you may have a perspective and an outlook on your life and on this city that is consistent with himself. Wonderful. Wonderful. God is not on the back foot. We need God's perspective. Gideon, he saw all the problems and the weakness and the difficulty. God saw a valiant warrior. Why? Because he was with him. Because he was with him. City Church, God is with us. There is no doubt. There is no doubt. God is with us. And this is the strength. This is the strength. And he says, mighty, valiant warrior, because he was with him. And so here we have a situation. God has got a different perspective. Gideon is seeing difficulty in this moment. He's seeing smallness. He's seeing limitation. And God is bringing a different perspective to bear. And he's changing his mind. He's enabling him, he's equipping him to be able to go out and to conquer. And he needs a changed mindset. And God is doing this and he's working in this way. In chapter 7, we find a very different situation. And again, I encourage you, read these chapters another time. But we find that God is beginning to use Gideon now in such a way as he's going to effect change and he is going to conquer the oppressor. How? By God's grace. By God's grace. By his enabling. By his almighty power. He is going to overthrow the oppressor. And so we get the situation. At this point, Gideon is gathered with about 32,000 people who are up for battle, so it seems. So it seems, 32,000. So again, natural perspective, looking on this situation now, Gideon is no longer in secret at the threshing floor. So now there's 32 blokes gathered, 32,000 blokes gathered. And they are preparing for war. And they want to see the oppressor overthrown. And it's fascinating this, because it looks like God now is beginning to give Gideon another change of perspective. So he's got 32,000 men. So God says to Gideon, say to the people, anybody who's afraid or a bit wobbly, you're all right, you can go home now. Anybody who's afraid or wobbly, you can go home now. And it's like, imagine the guy in this moment. What happens? What happens? About 2/3 of them disappear. So 22,000 people returned, went back, and 10,000 remained. He's just gone from about 32,000 people. He's got about 10,000 people. And you think, okay, it's getting smaller. Like, you think, if his confidence had been in the numbers, like, that's dwindling, isn't it? And so then we go on in this chapter. We've got to kind of move through this because we need to get somewhere else in about 10 minutes. God is changing his perspective again. And so he's got these 10,000. And then God's provoking him. And he's saying, okay, we're going to do something else now. And we're going to go down to the river. And then everybody who, there's some of them, they're going to just kind of like put their face in and start drinking. They're thirsty. And some of them, they're going to cup their hand and drink in that way. And it's like, this is like a decider. As a decider as to who's staying and who's going based on this act. And there may be reasons for that. But here's the thing. Bottom line, Gideon gets left with 300 blokes. He had 32,000. What's going on? He's got 300 blokes. I must be thinking, God, like, I had an army 5 minutes ago. What are you doing to me? They're like locusts, the enemy. There's thousands of them. What are you doing? And he's got 300 blokes with him. And you see later in the story, those 300 blokes, they divide into three groups of 100. And it's like now we're dispersing the 300 into little groups of 100. And it's just like, what is going on here? What is going on here is that God is giving Gideon a perspective. And the perspective is this: Gideon, I am bigger than you are. I am with you, and you will, by my strength, overcome the oppressor. And you can go on and read this story and see the deliverance of God through Gideon. The deliverance, please hear this morning, the deliverance of God through Gideon. God works through men and women. God, currently, he works through men and women. That's you and me. It's kind of like, get used to the idea. Seriously, God, he works in an almighty way through his people. And in doing so, he extends his kingdom. It's like, yes, yes. Get a vision for this. God is extending his kingdom through you and me. Our strength is that he is with us. He is with us. And we are delighted in him. Wonderful. Maybe Gideon could have been thinking in that moment, reduced down, and he's thinking, well, people think, we think like this sometimes. We think naturally, if I can say it like this, and you can think, well, maybe if we had like a really clever strategy, maybe if we employ the element of surprise, that will give us an advantage and somehow we will get somewhere with the oppressor, with the enemy. But this was not the point. God was teaching Gideon to see things from a different perspective. And he says this time and time and time again. Do you know it's quite okay that God repeats himself? God repeats himself. Do you know that's the grace of God? It's the grace of God that he continues to repeat himself to you and me. Sometimes we're really slow of hearing. Have you noticed? I am slow of hearing, and God will speak a word. And then time will go by, and it's almost as if you might have like kind of forgotten a little bit what he's spoken. And then he comes again and he repeats himself. And he speaks and he speaks and he speaks into your life. And he will repeat himself. And he's doing it here with Gideon. And he says, have I not sent you? I will be with you. I give you the victory. I am with you. Go up and take territory. Take territory. And all of these things in those passages, God has spoken to Gideon. And here it is. Take hold of that for which he has taken hold of you. There is active, I like this word, proactive cooperation with God. It employs my entirety. It employs my entirety, my proactive cooperation with God. God has called each of us. He has also called us as a collective here, as a local church, but he has called us individually, and he's called us with a plan, with a purpose for our lives and for our collective life. God, unsurprisingly, has a plan and a purpose, and he knows what he is doing. And we come to a place, and we have come to a place as a collective, and God is saying to us in different ways, and we've heard this already this morning, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And he says, I am with you. We can just pause there for a moment, just let that sink in. I am with you. You know, one of the absolute necessities of preaching is the activity of the Holy Spirit to make this more than words, but that God would communicate and God would speak, and he will speak into your heart, and there'll be understanding in your mind, and he'll speak, and he'll speak into your life. And we need that in this moment as he says this. It's just like, we know this stuff. We know this stuff, but listen. God says this. I am with you. I am with you. And this is the next bit. I am with you. Go up and take territory. That is proactive engagement in the camp of the enemy. Hear this morning. This is like a season that we're moving into. I am with you. You go up in proactive engagement and take territory. Take territory in your life. Take territory in this city. I am with you. Go up and take territory. Take territory. God is not on the back foot. He isn't. He isn't. And he is engaging us in what he is doing. And this is a season for us to take new territory. Go up, for I am with you. God would extend his kingdom in this city. That's an easy thing to say, isn't it? Hear it. Hear it this morning. God would extend his kingdom in this city. That is to say this. There are places in this city, whether they are geographical locations or whether they are spiritual entities, whether there is particular necessity of engagement on in a particular way along a particular line. There is stuff going on in this city, and God would extend his kingdom into those places. And he is employing us in that mission. God would extend his kingdom in this city, but in this region and beyond, through his power, this is straight out of Ephesians 3, we were going to turn to it, straight out of Ephesians 3, and he says this, his power, this is how God works, his power at work in you, and therefore through you, God will extend his kingdom. And as we continue to move forward, we increasingly need a God perspective. And here it is. We are going to turn to Ephesians 3. And if we run out of time, don't worry about it. This is Ephesians and chapter 3. And we're just going to read down a few verses from verse 14. And he's saying this. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. I am in submission to him. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. The love of Christ surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more. This is a now verse, this. Hear it. Far more. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to what? According to the power that works in us. Wow! This is mind-blowing stuff. God is working in this way. According to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever. Amen. God, we see it in these verses, and this is it. God exceeds abundantly. Come on. Come on. Let's get a big vision of God. God, he exceeds abundantly. Hear this morning. God in this church, there's got to be this is our testimony. This is our testimony. God has done abundantly. He has. He has. I don't know what perspective you're seeing it from, but I'm seeing it from this perspective. God has done abundantly. Since we began a very short time ago, really, few feeble little people getting together and honouring God and praying and looking to him, and he began to gather different ones, and as he gathered different ones, he provided ministry, and he provided compassion, and he provided fellowship and togetherness, and all kinds of things that he's done and he's added over time. And my testimony is this: God, you have provided abundantly. You know, I have been and will be going to churches that are kind of like us, maybe smaller, maybe bigger. Some of the way in which they serve, if I can say this to us this morning, we have been blessed abundantly. The people that minister in terms of music, and worship, and understanding, and preaching, and ministering to the children, and having a heart of outreach and compassion. There's all sorts of things that need to continue to grow and to come together. But know this, God has provided abundantly for us. Look at where we're sitting in this building this morning. We pay very little for this privilege to be here this morning in this building. Why? Because God has provided abundantly. He has provided abundantly for us. This is the ground on which we stand. This is the testimony that God has provided abundantly for us. And here's the thing, because we're not staying there. We're not. It's a lovely place of abundance. I think that. It's a place of abundance. It's a place of his grace and of his mercy and of his goodness. And it's a lovely place to settle down. But we're not. Do you know what's happening next? As we move forward, and I believe this with all of my heart, God is saying this to us this morning. I will exceed abundantly. God is and will grow in his excessive abundance in this church and for this city for his purposes. Amen. Amen. If the Spirit of God this morning witnesses with your spirit in what I'm talking about, you feel free to agree with me. Amen. God, by his Spirit, will do far more abundantly than you or I could even ask or even think or imagine. He will take us in directions that we have not thought of. He will give us connections with people that we currently do not know. And he will bring help. You know, we need help, don't you? We need help. That's great. That's great. God provides help where we need help. He will provide help for us. There's all sorts of ways as a church where we need help. And do you know the word of the Lord? I will provide help for you in this area where maybe like, you need a bit more clarity, you need a bit more kind of like energy, you need a bit more vibrancy, you need a bit more this and that. And he said, I will provide help. I will provide help for you. And why? Because he is taking us from a place of abundance. This is a God perspective. From a place of abundance. And he's saying, come on. Come on, I've got far more. Exceeding. I'm going to exceed abundantly. Exceeding abundantly. This isn't just kind of like hype. This is true. This is God at work. He works in this way. And he is working in this way. Far more exceeding abundantly. I love the fact that God exceeds abundantly. In God's purposes, I really believe this. Man of God, what do you see? This is some of it. There's a lot more, but we haven't got time. But listen. In God's purposes, these words are on purpose. In God's purposes. In God's purposes, we have only just started. We've only just started. We've only just begun to get going and to get moving. And we've come into a good land, but it is now time to begin to take territory. God has given to his church, because of his son, authority. Authority. That's a big one. And God has given to us, in his son, authority. And he wants us to begin to increasingly move from a place of authority. And he will extend his kingdom. And we, as we continue to follow hard after him. Victory, he's given us a place in Christ of victory and authority that wherever he leads, he will extend his kingdom. Wherever he leads, he will extend his kingdom. Areas where we may take ground. This is the thing. It's like there is a time where you come into a land. And again, you can think about the children of Israel. You can think about the Old Testament. You can think about their journey. And there was a time in their journey where they came into, God brought them out by a great deliverance. And he brought them into a land. And then do you know what he said to them effectively? Is they've come into a land, take territory. Possess the land that you have come into. Take possession of it. Take possession of it. In response to him, in dependence on him, in obedience to him, but to take the land. According to the power that works in you. As you look this morning, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? Do you see from God's perspective? Here's some practical areas where we will continue to move forward and take ground. You know, one of the things, and we've heard it, again, I'm encouraged by this, because there's different things, there's different sounds, there's different voices, and there is a collective of faith. One of the areas of encouragement, of forward movement that God has for us as a church, proactive evangelism. Proactive evangelism. Do you know what? That's me right out of my comfort zone. How about you? Right out of my comfort zone. Mario is all right. Me, I'm like, I don't have a lot of experience in what I'm thinking of as proactive evangelism. And do you know, God's taking us into a territory that we haven't yet come into of proactive evangelism. What do you reckon? There's hearts here that are hungry for that because God's at work. Proactive evangelism. Do you know other things that are going to grow over time and because of his working? This is a funny one for me to say this, but I'm just aware of it, so I'll throw it out there. Do you know what? City Church Chester, finance. That's a bit practical, isn't it? Finance. It's just going to grow. It's going to grow. Why? Because through that practical administration of finance, God will release further ministry and activity for his purposes. Finance, practical point. That's going to be, we're doing all right actually, by the way, on finance, but like we will exceed abundantly by God's grace for his purposes. That in itself releases a richness and breadth of ministry in the church. That is a broad thing. Another thing which is going to grow over time and is already working, but there's not enough time to go into it. It's already working, and it's this. And again, you might look around this morning and you think, Matt, what are you on? Look, look around you. Are you serious? And it's just like, yeah, I am. Do you know one of the things that's going to grow in City Church, both in this city and broader than that? God will be increasingly giving to us influence. Influence. You can write all this down. I'm quite happy. Influence. Influence. Why? Not because we're anything. In fact, because we're not. But because he is. And we give him all glory. And we extol him. And we pray that he would be glorified in this city and in this country and around the world. God will exceed abundantly. He will exceed whatever your abundantly looks like. And our influence as a little church will grow by his grace and for his glory. And what we're going to do now, we've run out of time ages ago, but if you would like to, I don't usually do this sort of thing, but if you would like to, you've heard everything this morning that I've been talking about. And what I want to do is I want to invite you this morning, if anything resonates in you this morning, I want to invite you to stand. You can stand physically, that would be good. But in yourself, stand. Stand and know that God is taking us forward from this place into far more abundantly. And my heart is this, we would go together. We would just simply go together one step at a time into his plans and purposes for our lives. God is at work and he's massive. So if you want to stand with me now, I'm going to pray. If you want to pray, then just get involved.